Welcome back to House of Bravo, where we break down Bravo shows and personalities from a cosmic perspective. I'm Emma, an astrocartographer and human design reader. Each week, we'll uncover the underlying energies shaping the drama both on screen and off, from current astro weather and events to deep dives into Bravo Liberty's energetics. This is your one-stop shop podcast to get your Bravo fix while learning to decode the language of the stars.
Hi, friends. Before we get to the meat of the episode today, I just want to take a moment and thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. Like, so many of you have reached out to me on Instagram telling me how much you love the account and how much you love the podcast. And it truly means the world to me. I wasn't sure how things were going to go doing this solo. And now we're like a month or a month plus in, and things are going strong. So I just want to thank you so much for being here and supporting. And I just want to express my gratitude to all of you. Now, I'm hoping that this episode actually records, and well, by hook or by crook, it will be recorded. I'm not only recording on my normal device, but I also have a voice memo recording me on my iPad simultaneously, because I've mentioned my tech issues, but today has already been quite a doozy. So with that being said, currently in the sky, we've got some interesting things happening. Pisces season has commenced. The sun moved into Pisces on Sunday, the 18th, nighttime Eastern time. We have Mars and Venus traveling together, though, and they are still over in Aquarius, which is really why I feel like today, especially, I need to dot my T's and check my I's. Dot my I's and check my T's. Cross my T's. Oh my God. I got to be careful today, because I find that when Mars and Venus are together, no matter what sign they're in, and whether this is natally or whether this is transit, it's an intense energy. They were also, oh my God, the day that they were conjunct with Pluto in Aquarius, it was an awful day for me. Now they're squaring Jupiter, so it's going to be intensifying not only the Aquarian house of your chart, but also wherever Taurus is in your chart. And then they're going to be squaring Uranus, which is also in Taurus. So just watch out. Energy is intense currently. We also have a full moon in Virgo happening this Saturday. And this is a special full moon because it will be the last full moon before eclipse season starts. So if you're into rituals, manifestation practices, I mean, I'm not going to tell you how to run your spirituality, but historically and kind of from the witchy woo world, we kind of like to say that you don't want to manifest or do ritual practices during eclipses, because eclipses are a time of like these portals being open, and we don't know what they will bring other than an intensity, a quantum leap, something major generally. So you just want to kind of like see what happens, see where the cards fall. How is the universe going to be kind of course correcting you during this time? I need to make sure I charge my crystals during this full moon, because I haven't charged them, I think, since last eclipse season. I like put them in my closet during last eclipse season. I like to hide them from any sunlight during eclipse season, and they just never made it back out of my closet. So I've been going the past few months with no crystal assistance, and I've been feeling the need to incorporate them back into my life. So I will be charging them this Saturday on the full moon. A fun personal fact, this Sunday, I'm working a private event, which I'm very excited about, but this by whole sign is going to be falling in my 10th house. So 10th house of career, of public image, of professional aspirations. So that's just kind of a fun little tidbit. So check where Virgo is in your chart. Check Placidus, check whole sign. I like to kind of look at both when it comes to transits. When I'm looking at a natal chart, I use Placidus because, as I'm sure I've said here, humans are messy and Placidus is messy. So I think it fits us very well. But with transits, there's just something about whole sign when it comes to transits. So go ahead, look at both and see kind of what happens after the fact, or even look at what you have planned around them. Then on Wednesday, we have a Saturn Kazemi in Pisces. A Kazemi is when the sun is conjunct any other planet. And a Saturn Kazemi is particularly kind of where, you know, like where do you need to define or enforce your boundaries? This is a particularly good time because, well, in general, a Saturn Kazemi is a great time to start something you want to kind of stay committed to. Saturn being about commitment, about dedication, about like putting it in the work for the long haul. In Pisces, it's about committing to your dreams. And, you know, like I feel like the past year, this kind of term Delulu has been going around. Pisces is Delulu season. It's a time of dreams, aspirations, creativity, of going down to the depths of your soul to figure out, like, fuck what's realistic. What is it that I desire? In terms of the Saturn Kazemi in Pisces, some things that you might want to think about is, what am I committed to creating? And again, look to where Pisces falls in your natal chart to give an area, to give an idea of the area in life that you're going to want to be thinking about this towards. So if it's in your third house, what do I want to be committed about creating in the way I communicate, or in my neighborhood, in my immediate environment? Because those are the things that the third house rules. Also, siblings are ruled in the third house. If it's in your sixth house, what am I committed to creating in my day-to-day life, in my day-to-day habits, in my health? So look to where this is taking place in your chart to kind of help you think through these things. Also with this, you might want to think about, what do I need to say no to in order to keep my commitments? And I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I'm also a personal coach. I do coaching, small business coaching, but also like one-on-one accountability coaching and kind of life coaching. So my favorite part about coaching personally, and this is probably because I have a sixth house stellium, I love habits, I love routine, I love structure in that way. But my favorite part about coaching is helping people create structures and supports to help them stay accountable to their goals. So you're going to want to also think through with Saturn, what can you do to help you stay the course on this thing that you want to create, that you want to commit to? That's kind of what's going on in the sky right now. Getting into these shows from this week, I feel like there was a lot. Well, first of all, we had two finales. It just doesn't feel like Miami and Beverly Hills have even been on long enough for there to be a finale, but guess they have been. I think I just watch so many shows and they all start to meld together, especially since I binge so many things. It's like time is very nebulous for me. Let's go ahead and kick it off with Miami. This season has been like really jam-packed. There have been a lot of fights. There have been a lot of just kind of like up and downs and everything. And actually, like, I don't generally know the title of an episode before I put them out. I think about it while I'm editing, but when I saw this episode, I just immediately knew it. Like, basically, this is about Larsa. With friends like Larsa, who needs enemies? But then even over in Beverly Hills, with friends like Sutton, who needs enemies? Like, this can apply to so many people. So that's where the title's coming from, just in case anyone's curious. Let's keep it light. Let's keep it fun to start out with. So the first thing, we have Julia and her farm animals, and she's just so caring, so loving. I also loved that Martina was all about Hercules joining the family. Was his name Hercules? Anyway, the pig. That was really cute. Julia's got a lot of cancer placements. She's super caring. Also, the fact that she started her farm with goats, and she has both Jupiter and the North Node in Capricorn, that symbolism does not escape me. Capricorn is the sea goat. So it's literally a goat that like can swim in the ocean, but also climb a rocky mountain. And the fact that she's now trying to make money off of her farm, to support her farm family. I really love the symbolism between the Capricorn and the Cancer energy playing off of each other. Then we have, like, moving over to Garrity and Russell. We did a synastry breakdown of them last year. It was like the Valentine's episode, or hold on, let me figure out what episode that was. Bonus episode number 7, Cosmic Coupling. I'll link it in the show notes. But if you're interested in hearing a breakdown of Garrity and Russell's synastry, we cover that. But I just love their relationship. I think it's so sweet. I love that they're high school sweethearts and they're best friends, and his support of her. You can see that they really just balance each other out energy wise. And you can also tell that he's like awkward on camera and doesn't really want to be here, and that he's doing it for Garrity. The one thing I'll say about her from this episode is, well, even just the season, her Mercury in Sagittarius opposing her Jupiter in Gemini speaks volumes to me about how she has these kind of dramatic moments of proving her point. Like at the beginning of the season, we have her kind of blurting out to Larsa that she has Cancer, which, you know, she wasn't really planning on doing. But Larsa was just being so difficult that Garrity blurted out, like, listen, bitch, I got Cancer. Now, ripping off the wig to expose her beautiful bald head again because of Larsa. That's, to me, that's the Sagittarius opposing the Jupiter in Gemini. It's this kind of like Sagittarius is all about being right. I want to say I'm a Sagittarius rising, so I feel like I can say that. It's like we want to prove that we know what is correct and right. And then Gemini also, lots of that energy here. You just say things, and like both of them are trying to prove themselves. Gemini through facts, Sagittarius through philosophy and thought and kind of like a deeper level. It's like, okay, we have the facts. What do we do with these facts? Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate that both of those outbursts were because she felt like she wasn't being heard and needed to prove this point about her health. Oh my God. Also, don't get me started. Like, I don't understand why none of the women were telling Larsa to shut the fuck up. She was being so disrespectful and it was so out of line. And all the ladies were just sitting around just like letting it happen. That was weird to me. I don't know why no one stands up to Larsa. And maybe it's because in some way they're afraid of her. I don't know. I also left turn here, but I do think it was really nice that Marisol called Adriana to congratulate her. And like, I really love the frenemy capabilities of this group. I feel like a lot of the other franchises can learn from these women in terms of, I guess, like Beverly Hills kind of has this too, where they're shady, but then they can still be friends. But I don't know. In Beverly Hills, I don't know that it ever really feels like they get back to the friendship aspect. It seems like things just stay tense. I mean, look at Kyle with Sutton. Look at Kyle with Dorit. Kind of look at Kyle with everyone, but also Erica before. I mean, it took a long time for her to kind of get back on better footing with the women. And even now, it seems tense with them. I mean, look at the releasing of, or like that ceremony where she like released her lay and said that she basically still had animosity towards the girls and what they put her through. So I just like love that here the women are really supporting each other. I mean, Adriana's done some kind of fucked up things to Marisol. And here she is like taking her time out of her vacation from across the ocean to call her and congratulate her. So I just thought that that was really nice. Adriana, I'm sure I've mentioned this in the past, but she's going through her second Saturn return currently. Her Saturn is natally in Pisces. Pisces, as I mentioned earlier, is a sign of creativity, a bit of delusion. And I think it really takes both to be a pop star, especially at a more advanced age, let's say. I, of course, would love to know her rising sign so that I knew where these energies were playing out in her chart, what areas of life they're affecting. Specifically, I would love to know where Jupiter in Taurus is transiting her chart, but even like, where's Pisces? Is that your 10th house, Adriana? Is it your first house? Is it your second? Like, oof, where is this happening? Is it your sixth? It could be so many places. It could be the eighth, like the fact that Emilio Estefan is kind of like helping bring this out of her. So would love to know where that is. Also, like we spoke about how Chiron is conjunct the North Node in Aries. Now, I don't know what house this is taking place in, but it is aspecting her Capricorn placements. It's squaring her Venus. And then Uranus, which is also in Taurus, is squaring her Mars, which is also in Capricorn. So it's basically speaking to kind of this, a revived career, her breaking free, her kind of stepping into her own. And like, yes, she does have Emilio leading the way for her or kind of carving this path for her, which is why I do think the eighth house is some way involved. The eighth house ruling mergers and partnerships and things like that. And he is so present in this revival of her. The opening theme music from season one was her. So this revival, and I do think it's like going to speak to her getting money from this, her getting some notoriety from this, but are also kind of breaking free and becoming her own person separate from the divorces. And she's had a rocky road getting to where she is. Okay, so I just pulled Emilio's chart and I don't know his time of birth, but here are some things that are interesting. First of all, he's a Pisces sun, super creative. His sun is kind of sitting in between Adriana's Saturn and her Chiron. And I feel like this is really speaking to like him shining a light on her dedication to her creativity, to her craft. She's been a singer. She's been an art dealer. Like, art has always been a part of what we know about Adriana. And he's kind of shining a light on the fact that like, she's been here. She hasn't necessarily been, this is in Capricorn. She's not a slow build to where she's getting, but just shining a light on the fact that she is creative. And like, similar to Erica Jane, these women are performers. They're not calling themselves singers necessarily. Like, it's not about your vocals. It's about the performance. It's about the vibe. So that to me also is kind of like very Piscean. Not that Piscean, like Piscean people can be great singers. I'm not saying that they're not, but it's more about just the creativity aspect of it at play. Her Venus is conjunct his Chiron in Capricorn. It helps to heal this part of him that is always kind of like this provider, this worker. It's kind of like, I feel like in a way, like he's nurturing her. He's nurturing her, but she's also like giving back to him in that way of like helping him heal that. By sign, not by degree, but by sign, their Mercuries are trining. Her Mercury is in Sagittarius. His is in Aries. So they both have fire sign Mercuries. They're both going to speak their mind. They're both going to express themselves. And I actually like love that from a creative standpoint, a creative collaboration standpoint. And they both have their north nodes in an air sign. So by sign, their north nodes are trining. Emilio's is in Aquarius and Adriana's is in Gemini. So again, it's just kind of this ease, this flow between the direction that they're moving in life. Like both of them, it's about expressing yourself. So they have these themes, they have these similar energies in their chart of expressing yourself, speaking your mind, being creative, kind of like putting in the work to get to where you want to go. So I do love this collaboration. I love that he's supporting her and really helping her to shine and to kind of get something for herself. Because again, like, we've seen so much, I don't want to say being taken away from her, but like, we've seen her lose so much over the years. And you can say what you want about Adriana. I know she's problematic and she shoots below the belt. But at the end of the day, like, we're all human and I don't wish anything bad on anybody. So the last thing I'll say about Miami before we move on is I really hope that Kiki gets a mojito. I know I'm not the only one. Andy even, I don't know, it's weird because Andy, like, she was on Watch What Happens Live. I can't believe that was her first time. I feel like I've seen her there before, but I guess not. Andy said that, like, on Watch What Happens Live, all these people are saying they want you to get a mojito, but then he didn't say anything one way or the other. So let's hope that he takes note and does bring her on. I feel like even though she is considered a friend of, she's in, like, her confessionals are really featured so much more, I think, than other friends of on other franchises. And even I feel like as a friend of, we've seen more of her on Miami than we've seen of Anna Marie, because it turns out her name is spelled Anna Marie but pronounced Anna Marie, over on Beverly Hills. So that is my hope for Kiki, is that she comes on full time next season. All right, so moving over to, like, honestly, I don't have anything astrological to say about Beverly Hills, but because it's the season finale, let's just go ahead and talk about it. I felt like this was a rushed episode because I know they wanted to get that segment at the end about Kyle and Mauricio and the kids, but really, like, not much happened this episode. We have the return of Kevin Lee, which she, I would have loved to see more of him. Weird that he put a dance floor with Kyle when it's not like it's Kyle's birthday party. I don't know. That just seemed weird to me, but always fun to see a familiar face. Kyle was throwing so much shade at LVP. I thought that was quite interesting. And it was fun shade, but, like, shade nonetheless. I'm surprised that she even had her name in her mouth so much. Yeah, but let's see. I thought it was really sweet that Kyle asked Erica to perform at the white party. The fact that it was on the football field seemed a little weird. It seemed like a very small, I don't know, it just didn't seem to take up the space. It felt a bit awkward from a viewer's standpoint. I wonder how it was being a guest there and if it felt, like, cool and fun and, like, okay, this is a vibe. I don't know. It felt forced and awkward to me. Also, I mean, of course, like, if you're curious about Kyle Mauricio, go back and listen to last week. I mean, I talked about astrologically what was going on with them there. But I do still think it's weird that so many of the women are giving Kyle shit for, like, supposedly not sharing enough about herself and her marriage with them while recording this season. First of all, she said that things have been difficult for them. But why does she have to tell you that they're thinking about separated? Their children don't even know these things yet. Like, it's such a personal thing. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I really don't understand why Garcelle, why Sutton in particular, why they're giving her so much shit about this. Number one, it's not like she doesn't share areas of her life, but again, like, this is such a private personal thing that you need to kind of figure out with your partner what's going on before you're going to start talking about it elsewhere. Otherwise, you really are just kind of, like, exacerbating the situation and kind of resigning yourself to the fact that that's the direction that it's going. Look, all of them put a bad taste in my mouth. And yeah, something I thought was weird was at the end when Kyle and Erica are sitting there talking about what Kyle and Mauricio are going through. Kyle's in her house, but she's got her Hermes bag next to her on the couch. So, like, I don't know who walks around their house with their purse. I just thought that was weird. And it made me think, like, was she not staying at the house? But I feel like if anyone was going to move out, it was going to be Mauricio. And they do say that, like, they're still living together. So, yeah, sorry. Not many astrological things to say here. But as I said, it was kind of like a throwaway episode other than wrapping up with the conversation with the kids. And even that, I just feel so, like, awkward and sad for all of them. All right, so this brings us over to Potomac. We didn't have an episode last week because of the Super Bowl. And here we start off with Ashley kind of talking about her fear of divorce based on her childhood experiences. Ashley has Saturn in Capricorn at 0 degrees, opposing her Chiron in Gemini. And she mentions how she remembers, like, being young and, like, coming home and her mom had been kicked out and their things were on the side of the road. And it's like Saturn's all about providing, providing, like being the provider, being the authority, being that person of stability and structure and like a pillar, you know, opposing a Chiron in Gemini, Gemini representing children, Gemini representing kind of an innocence in a way. So it's like, I really see this speaking to that fear. And like, yeah, she'll get divorced from Michael, but I feel like she needs to feel like she's financially capable of providing for her kids. I mean, she said that, but like, even astrologically, I'm seeing that before she'll be ready to separate from him. And I think that's really why she's starting this line with Giselle, because Giselle's proven herself to be a businesswoman. She had that makeup line. It got picked up by, I don't remember if it was CVS or Walmart, but it's like she's proven herself to be someone that can go out and make money. And so, like, here Ashley's looking for that kind of hand holding in a way, or like that partnership I mentioned earlier in regards to Adriana and Emilio, that like, I'm wondering if like some of their synastry is taking place in her eighth house of mergers, of partnerships. When we look at Ashley's chart on its own, this North Node Chiron conjunction in Aries is happening in her eighth house. It speaks to me of like her partnering with someone else in order to find her independence. So yeah, it is interesting to me that that's taking place in her eighth house, and she's kind of like on this journey of independence and breaking free from Michael, going out onto her own, but onto her own monetarily in a partnership. So it will be interesting to see what comes of GNA. All right, so speaking of Giselle, I thought that Giselle telling Grace to follow her gut was kind of interesting. I read Giselle at her birthday party last year, and it's something that actually she and I talked about in her human design session. She is a sacral being. So she does have a gut instinct, although she is an emotional authority. So she will need to take time to feel things out. But this is why I love human design, because so many of these things we already know to be true about ourselves. Like when I spoke to her about trusting her gut, she said, oh yeah, I already know, I already do. Now, she, like, this season was already filmed by the time we were having this discussion. So it's not like I put this in her head. And it just, it like reiterates that this is something that she's already lived by. So it's like human design, especially, I mean, astrology too, but human design, it's just kind of like reminding us when we've forgotten or when we've been conditioned away from it, that these elements are who we are. And it's a remembrance of who you are. Or, you know, a lot of people say a permission slip to be who you've always felt you are. Now, I don't know Grace's design, so I'm actually not sure if it is correct for her to follow her gut. She may not be sacral. She may not have that gut instinct, that gut intuition. And if it isn't applicable to her, if she's not sacral, then this is a good example of how we become conditioned away from our own energetics. And this is why they say that human design is for the children. Because what we say and how we raise the next generations have, of course, a huge impact on how they turn out. and how well they quote unquote know themselves. You know, I'm not a parent, but I have parents, and parents always have their, well, not always, parents generally have their children's best interests at heart. And so, like, what can you tell them other than what you know to be true? So if Giselle knows that it's true for her to follow her gut, and this has led her to, you know, success and to where she wants to be, of course she's going to share that with Grace. But is that correct for Grace? Maybe, maybe not. I think sacral beings are approximately 70% of humanity. So it's likely to be correct enough for her. Again, she might also have an emotional authority. So it's like, yeah, you can trust your gut, but you still need to feel things out. And this is really why, again, like, human design is for the kids. This is why I love giving readings for newborns, like, to their parents, of course. But it's like, when any of my friends or their friends, anyone I know has a child, I will immediately pull up that kid's chart and start telling the parents things about them. Because, all right, let me give an example. When my first niece was born, I pulled her chart, and my brother and his wife, they're not interested in astrology. They don't, I'm not going to say they don't believe in it, but they certainly don't know anything about it. They don't follow it. They probably kind of scoff in a way that this is what I do. Well, I should say they did. My niece has what's called cold determination. And what this means is she's going to be sensitive to the temperature of her food. It will affect her in more ways. Like, this is not food specific, but it's kind of the most, like, I'm just going to simplify it to this. So I mentioned to my sister-in-law, you know, she may not want to drink breast milk directly from you. It may be too warm. She may be having issues with the temperature of food as she grows and as she has an opinion and can voice how what she wants things to be. So fast forward to when she's 2 years old. I'm visiting them, and my sister-in-law says, you know, you were right. Mika, my niece, she's like, she always says her food is too hot. Even when it's not hot at all, like, I need to put everything in the freezer and cool it down completely, or else she won't eat it. It's too hot for her. Many parents, if they don't know this information, they're going to tell the kid, well, no, it's not hot. Just eat it, blah, blah, blah. Like, another example for children is some people have what's known as nervous determination. And these people, it's not correct for them to sit at a table and eat and kind of focus on that meal. So these are people who you're going to see, they're going to be really fidgety. They're going to want to get up and walk around and come back to the table. Like, that is correct for them. And that's actually going to be how they best digest their food. But a lot of parents will say, sit down, eat your food, don't play with it. You're conditioning your child away from what is actually truly correct for them. Again, parents have the best intentions, and they're just doing what they can do to, like, keep everyone on the same page and keep a schedule and all, like, this and that, right? Don't be rude. Don't get up from the table, like, whatever it is. But not everyone is meant to function the same. So all this rant to say that this is why human design is for the kids. Sorry, that was a bit of a side tangent. I'm just very passionate about people being able to be themselves. And the best way to do that is to start when someone's young and to understand their energetics. And of course, like, we didn't have that opportunity. Human design wasn't even really known until about 10-ish years ago. It was something that I think it was synthesized in the 70s or 80s, kind of like some like the first generation of human design experts really started to crop up in the 90s, but it hasn't made it into the mainstream. And I don't even know if it is in the mainstream yet, but, like, it's kind of just now becoming something that people hear about or know about. So it's like, all we can do is what we can do. But now that we're aware that this is something that exists, it's great for us to know our design. It's going to help us realign ourselves. It's going to help us refine who we are if we've allowed ourselves or if we've been conditioned away from our true essence. But again, if you have children, it's really great to understand their design so that you can allow them to flourish as themselves and not as society expects someone to be or within a certain box that's really going to be hindering them from reaching their fullest potential. All right, I'm down off my soapbox now. Okay, how does Karen, we're over in Dominican Republic. How does Karen not know where Ray goes on vacation if he goes there every year? Like, if my husband were going to the Dominican Republic for a golf trip with his buddies, like, best be sure I would know where they were staying. Well, I guess she must actually know where he is because she said she called when they were first married and that maid picked up, which also, I don't understand why Karen would even tell that to the other ladies. I would have kept that to myself. Side note, picture of Karen and Ray kissing. She was like a profile view and I swear it looked like Ashley. I don't know if anyone else saw that. Like the picture of them at their wedding where it was, you know, both of them were facing the camera. She looked like Karen, but when they were kissing, it looked like Ashley. I don't know if anyone else caught this, but Karen said that her and Ray have been married for 27 years. So that Saturn return of their marriage is coming up. It will be interesting to keep an eye on them. It does seem like their relationship has been, I don't know. It doesn't seem as strong. There have been rumors. There have been this. There's been that. So well, let's keep an eye on Ray and Karen and what happens with them. I guess that covers it for this week. I guess this might be a short episode. I am very intrigued about the reunions coming up. We'll do our MVP and LVP, most and least valuable players of the season, when we wrap up the reunions for Beverly Hills and Miami. Ooh, I forgot that we actually have Summer House premiering tonight. So we'll get into that on next week's episode. I also reached out to Alyssa, Stars X Alyssa. I'm sure you guys have seen her on Instagram. And she has not only read a lot of the Summer House people, but she has done the hero's work of reaching out to all of them. And I think we have like everyone's sun, moon, and rising, except one of the newbies. We don't have his rising, but I think she's going to come on a little bit later in the Summer House season. We're going to talk about the drama happening there. That will be really fun and something for us to look forward to. And then we have Summer House Martha's Vineyard coming up sometime soon. I just started seeing promotions for it. So we have housewives are closing up their doors. But we've got the Summer House cruise coming to our screens. And so we will be talking about some fresh energy here. But that's all we've got for this week. And well, I wasn't planning on this, but because I went on a human design tangent, if you are interested in a reading, shoot me a DM and I will give you guys a discount code for 10% off a human design reading. So with that, I wish you guys a wonderful full moon in Pisces this weekend. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review. I know you can only leave reviews on Apple Podcasts. So if you have Apple Podcasts, please go ahead and leave a review. If you have Spotify, I don't think they have reviews, but you can go ahead and rate it. And that is also very much appreciated. Of course, for more Bravo Astrology content, follow along on Instagram at The Cosmic Clubhouse. And I will see you guys back here next week. Bye.